Repent or perish. You know, today's sermon title seems so intense, so negative. Repent or perish. You know, when we hear those words, an image comes into our mind of some wild-eyed man with long, straggly hair holding a big sign that reads, "Repent or perish." But I didn't choose today's sermon title based on that image. I chose today's sermon title because it correctly sums up what our Lord Jesus himself says twice in our gospel reading from Luke. Remember what he said? Unless you repent, you too will all perish. Straight from Jesus. You know, when we hear Jesus say that, it sounds like he hates us. It sounds like he's threatening us. But let me tell you, my friends, that's not what's going on at all. In fact, Jesus loves us, and he's trying to show us the way of salvation. For example, let's say a man decides to go ice fishing on a lake that he's never been to before, and he's walking on the frozen lake trying to find a good spot. However, unbeknownst to him, he is about to walk in a part of the lake where the ice is so thin that he will surely fall through and perish. However, just before he begins to walk on the thin ice, a man who sees him walking in that direction and knows the danger he's facing, he yells out and says, "Stop, sir, stop! Come back where it's safe. Don't walk any further in that direction or you will surely perish." Now, how do you take the words of that man who warned the other man who was about to walk on thin ice and perish? Did this man hate the man who was about to walk on thin ice? Did he threaten the man who was about to walk on thin ice? Of course not. I mean, if he had hated the man, he should have remained silent and allowed that man to walk to his death. Instead, this man loved the man who was about to walk on thin ice. That's why he warned him and called him to return to safety. So now do you understand what Jesus is doing in our gospel reading from Luke? You see, we sinners are walking on thin ice, and unless we stop and return where it's safe, we will most certainly perish. We will fall through the ice, so to speak. So with that understood, let's examine our gospel reading a bit more closely. In our gospel reading from Luke, Jesus is speaking to people who, for the most part, are walking on thin ice. The reason they're walking on thin ice, so to speak, is that they do not take their sins seriously, and they do not trust in Jesus for salvation. Now, while they are still alive, there is a chance for them to turn back and find safety in Jesus. But if they don't turn back before they die, then they will fall through the ice, so to speak, and they will perish for all eternity. Now, at the beginning of our gospel reading from Luke, Jesus points out that those people were very good at recognizing signs, especially weather signs. They could look at the clouds and determine if it was going to rain. They could feel a hot wind and determine if the weather was going to warm up. But here's the sad thing. They deliberately and intentionally chose to ignore the clear signs that Jesus was giving them. I mean, not only was Jesus performing all the miracles that the Old Testament said the Savior would perform, but Jesus was preaching to them. He was giving them the signs of God's word. He was teaching them to repent and to trust in him for forgiveness and eternal life with God. But they chose to ignore those signs. They refused to repent of their sin. They would not trust in Jesus as their God and Savior from sin, death, and hell. And so if they end up perishing and spending eternity in hell, they have no one to blame but themselves, because Jesus has given them plenty of signs. You know, it's the same way in our culture today. Jesus has given us plenty of signs. In fact, we actually have the Holy Scriptures in our own language. There's still a lot of people in the world who don't have that. Did you know that? There are some language groups that don't have the Bible in their own language. But we do. By the grace of God, we do. And yet there are many who ignore that book and despise it in some cases. Just think of it. We can read Holy Scripture and hear it preached to us and taught to us by the pastors that God has given us. But if people today choose to ignore these signs from God, then they are in great danger of perishing for all eternity. So Jesus goes on to talk about a man who's on his way to be sentenced for his crime of not paying his debt. Jesus says that unless he reconciles with his adversary before he is sentenced, he will end up in prison, and there he will remain until he pays his entire debt. And guess what? He's never going to get out of prison, because if you're in prison, you can't work and make an income, and so you're never going to pay off your debt. That's the point Jesus is making. His point is that if we're not reconciled to God before it's too late, we will end up in hell for all eternity, because there's no way we can ever pay off the debt of our sin by ourselves. Jesus is hereby warning us to be reconciled to God through faith in him who paid our debt by suffering and dying on the cross in our place of punishment. The only way we can avoid the eternal prison of hell is to repent now and trust in Jesus now before it's too late. Now, could Jesus have been any clearer? Sadly, the people in our gospel reading, they didn't repent. They didn't trust in Jesus. Not even after Jesus warned them so clearly. What do they do instead? Instead, they tell Jesus about a time that some Jews from Galilee were slaughtered by Pilate's Roman soldiers while those Jews were offering sacrifices to God in the temple. When Pilate slaughtered them, their own blood was mixed with the sacrificial blood they were offering to God. What a horrible tragedy. What a horrible way to die. It would be like a bunch of Christians being mowed down by machine guns while they were taking Holy Communion. Now, why did they tell Jesus about that tragic event? Here's the kicker. They were actually using this event as an excuse for why they didn't need to repent and trust in Jesus. How did that work, you think? Well, here's what they were thinking. Jesus, how dare you suggest that we need to repent of our many sins? We're basically good people, Jesus. You want some proof, Jesus? The proof that we're good people is that God has blessed us with lives of peace and prosperity. I mean, we're not like other people. We're not like those Jews who were slaughtered by Pilate in the temple. Obviously, they were the real sinners. That's why God punished them. That's why God allowed them to face that tragedy, Jesus. But have you noticed, Jesus? God's being pretty good to us. Nothing really bad's happening to us. I guess that's proof that we're good people. And so, Jesus, we don't need to repent of anything. We certainly don't need to trust in you for salvation. God's impressed with us. That's why everything is going well for us. You know, many people today have this same sinful attitude. Many people today, and I've met some right here in Jamestown, they think that God will give you earthly peace and eternal salvation as long as your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. That's right, as long as your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, God will bless you in this life and give you eternity in heaven. But, well, if your bad deeds outweigh your good deeds, then God will punish you in this life and send you to hell for all eternity. But, you know how Jesus responds to this nonsense? He says, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? I tell you, no! But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Jesus gives it right back to him. You know what he's saying? He's saying, first of all, contrary to your sinful way of thinking, those people who died, whether it was being slaughtered in the temple or when that tower fell on those other people in Siloam, they were not worse sinners than you. You're just as guilty as they are. And unless you repent and trust in me, you too will perish. And when Jesus is talking about perishing, he's not talking about merely physical death. He's talking about something far worse than that. Spending eternity in hell. So what is Jesus teaching us here? Simply put, many people in Jesus' day, and I dare say many people today, wrongly think that we can discern whether God loves us or hates us based on our circumstances in this life. You know, if you have health and wealth and nothing really bad happens to you, then God must love you and must be impressed with your behavior. But if you're sick, or if you're poor, or if you experience one tragic event after another, then God must despise you because you're such a terrible sinner, unlike other people who supposedly are not. But Jesus says that this is all evil nonsense. You see, the events of this life have absolutely nothing to do with discerning whether you're worthy of God's mercy or not. You know why? Because none of us are worthy of God's mercy, and all of us deserve what? Eternity in hell. You know what that means? When we do experience health and wealth and safety, and most of us Americans do experience that in abundance, when we do experience health, wealth, and safety, it's only because God is being merciful to us, even though we don't deserve it. But what about those times when we're sick? What about those times when we might lose our job and be living in poverty? What about those times other tragic events come into our life? What does that mean? Does it mean that God hates us? No. God clearly teaches in his word that he loves us, even though we don't deserve it. Remember our reading from John chapter 3? We heard these words that most people hopefully have memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Of course, that leads to a question. If God really loves us as he says he does, then why does he allow bad things to happen to us? Why did he allow Pilate to slaughter those Jews who were worshiping in the temple? Why did God allow that tower to fall on those people? Why does God allow tragedies to happen in our modern day world? God does this because he loves us. He's trying to get our attention. He does this so that we will realize that we're mortal and that we need him. Think about it. Sooner or later, one way or another, you are going to suffer in this life. In fact, sooner or later, one way or another, you're going to have to face death itself. Those people in our gospel reading were foolishly clueless about this fact. Did they actually think that they were never going to suffer at some point in time? Did they actually think that they were never going to die at some point in time? We have the same problem with many people today. Many people today are going about their lives oblivious to the fact that at any moment some tragedy could happen to them, oblivious to the fact that at any moment they could die. And yet, no sense of needing to repent, no sense of needing to trust in Jesus. Jesus points out that we are all sinners and that the suffering of this world is God's sign to us that something's wrong. And what is wrong is our sin against God. We deserve his present and eternal punishment. We confess that at the beginning of the service. But now for the good news. The good news is that we don't have to perish for all eternity, even though that's exactly what we deserve. God is patient with us. And he gives us plenty of loving warnings so that we can repent of our sins and trust in Jesus for salvation. But what will happen if we never produce the fruit of repentance and faith in Jesus? What will happen if we die clinging to our sin and rejecting Christ? What if God warns us and warns us and warns us and we still stop up our ears and refuse to repent and trust in Christ? Well, even though God is patient, far more patient than we deserve, there will come a time when God will say, enough. That's what Jesus means when he ends our gospel reading with the story about a fig tree that bears no fruit. Oh, God is patient. God nurtures us with his word in the hope that we will bear the fruit of repentance and faith in Jesus. But if we continue to spurn God's attempts to nurture us, there will come a time when God will cut us down in judgment. Not because he wants to, but because he must. You see, if we refuse to repent and trust in Jesus, then we must suffer the punishment that we deserve. Now, with all that said, how does this apply to us? Well, it should be obvious. If you're here today, and if you agree with God that your sin is evil and that you deserve hell for all eternity because of it, if you're here today and you believe that Jesus suffered in your place in punishment and you trust in him for forgiveness, if you're here today and you have the desire to turn from your sin and live according to God's loving plan for your life, then praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit has worked through God's word to give you the fruit of repentance and faith in Jesus. You are forgiven. You will not perish. You are safe in Jesus. However, if you're a person who ignores what God says about your sin and you're offended by the idea that you actually deserve hell, if you do not trust in Jesus alone for your salvation, if you have no desire to turn from your sin, no desire to conform to God's loving plan for your life, well then, you're resisting the Holy Spirit. And you are like that fig tree that would not bear fruit. If you die in this state of unbelief, you will perish for all eternity. You know, our entire gospel reading can be summed up in the final sentence of our reading from John. Remember what it said? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life right now, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life now or ever, for God's wrath remains on him. My friends, we were conceived as sinners walking on thin ice, so to speak. So when Jesus says, unless you repent, you too will all perish, he's lovingly warning you away from the eternal destruction that awaits you and calling you to safety in his arms of mercy and life. Now, as Christians who believe in Jesus, the Spirit moves you to live in daily repentance and faith. That means you will not perish. You are safe in Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. You will live forever in his love. But guess what? Jesus' words still apply to you. Even though you're already saved and secure and safe in Jesus, his words, unless you repent, you too will all perish, they still apply to us Christians in at least two ways. Let me briefly talk about those two ways that Jesus' words still apply to us even as believers. The first way that Jesus' words apply to us as believers is this. The devil is constantly tempting us to turn away from Jesus and to go in the direction of the thin ice. Even though we're already saved, these words of Jesus apply to us to keep us where it's safe, to prevent us from actually straying away onto thin ice. You know, there are some people who once believed in Jesus, but not anymore. Now they're walking on thin ice because they have turned away from Christ and his word and they're living as they please. Obviously, Jesus doesn't want that to happen to you. That's why it's so important for us Christians to attend services and Bible classes on a regular basis, as well as spending time reading Scripture and meditating on God's Word in prayer. You see, this is how God keeps our faith alive and strong so that we do not even begin to stray from Him and walk on thin ice. The Holy Spirit works through God's Word to keep us living in daily repentance and daily faith so that we might rejoice in God's forgiveness and look forward to eternal life in His love. That's why we need to hear Jesus' words. He uses His words to keep us where it's safe. Now I'd like to talk about the second way that Jesus' words apply to us Christians. Jesus' words, "Repent or you all will perish," is a reminder to us that even though we're safe in Jesus' arms, there are still many who are not. We Christians must remember that there are many people in this world, many people who are walking on thin ice. Many of them are right here in Jamestown. Do we love them enough to warn them? Or are we just going to allow them to keep walking and fall through the ice and perish? You see, my friends, God wants to use us Christians to proclaim His word in the world so that more people might be warned, and turned around before it's too late. That's how the church has always grown throughout the ages, and we dare not forget that mission. In fact, quickly, I'd like you to look on the very front of your bulletin cover. I hope you take time to read this every once in a while to help you remember why we're here. But notice our mission statement. The mission statement of Concordia Lutheran Church is this: to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in its truth and purity. Did you notice that word, share? One of the reasons this congregation exists is that we are to be a witness for Jesus right here in Jamestown, where many people are still walking on thin ice, and you know who some of them are. God calls us to build relationships with them, to reach out to them in love, to earn their trust, and to wait for an opportunity to proclaim God's truth and love so that they may repent and trust in Jesus before it's too late. You see, one of the reasons you attend services and Bible classes at this congregation is for your own benefit, and that's fine. We need to hear God's word on a regular basis, or our own faith will begin to wither and die. So that's a good reason to come to church and to go to Bible class and read your Bible during the week. God uses His own word to keep your faith alive. That's one reason this congregation exists, so that we can be nurtured in our faith, so that we will never stray. But another reason that you attend services and Bible classes in this congregation, another reason that hopefully you read the Bible during the week and grow in your knowledge of God's Word, is that you might be equipped and ready to be an articulate witness to others when God does give you the opportunity. God wants you to grow in His knowledge and wisdom, not only for your own benefit, but for the benefit of being able to share that with others when God gives you the opportunity. So in closing, please remember that God loves you. And the proof that He loves you is that He sent His only Son to the cross to suffer the punishment that you deserve so that you might not perish, but live in God's love forever. And so when you hear Jesus say, "Unless you repent, you too will all perish," that doesn't mean He hates you. He's certainly not threatening you. Instead, He's showing you how much He loves you. He wants to warn you away from the thin ice of unbelief and call you into His arms of mercy and love so that you might live with Him forever. By the grace of God, you're safe. You're in Jesus' arms through faith in Him. But you also get to tell other people about Jesus. You also get to tell them that unless they repent, they will perish. But the good news is that they don't have to. Like you, they can come to Jesus, and He will embrace them and forgive them and love them for all eternity. If only they will believe that. And the only way they will believe that is if we proclaim that word to them. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment, we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.